Good morning. I'd like to welcome everyone to our worship service this morning. Just a few announcements, and then we'll open up with a word of prayer. Had 34 in Sunday school this morning. Amen. I want to encourage everyone, if you're not a part of Sunday school, we have classes for all ages. And it's a good time to study God's word and hopefully learn and able to apply it to our lives. So I want to encourage everyone to please just mark the calendars and make it a regular thing to come join us for Sunday school each Sunday morning. Don't forget, through February the 16th, we'll be taking up an offering to help those who have been affected by the wildfires in California. This money will be sent to send relief through the Southern Baptist Convention. If you write a check, just put on there, make it out to Wiggum Baptist Church, but just put on there, send relief, or you can use one of the envelopes or whatever that's in the pews and just write on there in big letters, send relief, and it'll get to the send relief. Just a reminder, if you will, leave a couple of parking spaces open closest to the south side door to the Sunday school hallway for our elderly and for the ones that make it a little easier for some to get into Sunday school and out of Sunday school and all. Don't forget, ladies, Tuesday, February 4th at 6:30 p.m. is the ladies Titus 2 meeting here at the church. This Wednesday, February 5th, 6:30 p.m. is fellowship meal, covered dish, and conference. We will vote on the 2025 budget. You can pick up a copy of the proposed budget on the table as you enter or leave the church here. They're on the back table. Do have an announcement for a baby shower honoring Malik and Destina. That's Saturday, March the 22nd at 5 p.m. given by Nana and Papa. Nana and Papa and Amy. I'm going to put Tim, Amy Dunn. And that's at the pastorium at Tim and Amy's house at 251 North McGriff Street, Wiggum, Georgia. So please keep that in mind. That's March the 22nd at 5 p.m. That's a Saturday. Any other announcements? Okay, Tim.
One thing is this Thursday night, Kerr High School Auditorium, Hank Parker is going to be there. It's pretty much everybody's invited to go. Tickets are $5. If you don't know who Hank Parker is, if you watch a bass fishing show, you're probably going to see him on there. But he has a great testimony and shares the gospel. And so they're hosting him, or Midway's hosting him this Thursday night. I don't remember what time it is. I had the poster somewhere and it's disappeared. But anyhow, I think it's at 6 or 6:30. But anyhow, on the 16th, we need to have a dream team meeting, church council, so we plan for the rest of the year. I know we're behind. But this Wednesday night, we also need to nominating committee members. Ms. Phyllis is no longer with us, and so I think Larry and Ms. Lorraine were on there. And so if you would like to be a part of that, let me know. But anyhow, those are things we need to take care of to catch us back up. And so appreciate everybody with that.
And what time would we like to meet on the
16th?
4:30 p.m. on the 16th, February the 16th, Dream Team meeting at 4:30, and we'll get that in the bulletin also. Any other announcements? Any birthdays? Wait a minute.
Oh.
They're pointing at you, Beverly. Happy birthday. Don't you love family?
Y'all
get it. Well, we do. You had two pointing at you, and I just want to let you know they were family members.
It's actually not until tomorrow.
Yeah, but that's close enough.
That's close enough.
So happy birthday.
Yeah, and two places that they get you with that, at the restaurant and at church.
Yep.
How about that? Well, happy birthday. Everybody sing happy birthday to Beverly. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, God bless you. Happy birthday to you.
You know, we studied in Sunday school this morning. We've been studying Exodus and the tabernacle the last couple of weeks, and we talked today about God's glory coming into the tabernacle. And we talked about with the New Testament church, y'all, God's glory should fill this place this morning. And His glory is through our Lord Jesus Christ. And it should fill this place. So we're going to open with prayer. We're going to sing these hymns. And we hear Harold say this all the time. You sing it like you're singing to who? Singing to the Lord. And then Brother Tim's going to come and give us God's word. And we just need to be in prayer that God's glory will fill this. And I said, that's my prayer this morning, that God's glory will fill this place this morning. Dear Heavenly Father, we are just so thankful for this day, Lord. We thank you for the opportunity to gather today, Lord. We thank you for the ladies that have prepared the fellowship this morning before Sunday school, Lord. We just, even in our fellowship, Lord, we know we see God's glory. And I just thank you for that, Lord. In our path, in our Sunday school, Lord, we just thank you for that. We thank you for our teachers, Lord. We thank you for the ones that come and participate, Lord, and just are involved in Sunday school, Lord. But now we are starting our worship service, Lord. And I just pray, Lord, that God's glory fills this building this morning, Lord. I know we don't worship the building, Lord. We worship our Lord Jesus Christ, Lord. But it is so important for us to gather together to worship our Lord Jesus Christ. I pray for Brother Harold as he leads us in our hymns and our songs of praise this morning, Lord. But I lift Brother Tim up to you today, too, as he stands in this pulpit, Lord, and he proclaims your word today, Lord, not only to the lost, Lord, but to the saved, Lord. And I just pray, Lord, that we are obedient to it, Lord. We are attentive, Lord. And as we talk this morning, Lord, let us walk in your pathways, Lord. Let us follow you. Let you guide us. I pray these things in Christ's name. Amen.
Well, let's, if we can, all stand as we praise our Lord. Start with hymn 301, I Am Resolved.
Thank you.
Troy Himmelby, hymn 282, Living for Jesus.
Yeah.
take the Bibles this morning and flip them to James chapter 1. James chapter 1. Last week we looked at James, and James told us as believers to be swift to hear, slow to speak. I made the illustration that God gave us two ears and one mouth. So what does that tell you God wants us to do? Listen twice as much as we speak. But the problem is, it's not just that, that can be applied to all areas of our lives, but especially when it comes to the Word of God. Because the problem is, we can come to church three times a week. We can even get out our Bibles or our Bible app on our phone or iPad or whatever you have, and you can read the Word of God. But can I ask you a question? Are you truly listening to it? Because I've been in the ministry long enough to know that sometimes when I'm preaching, there's some people don't have a clue what's going on with the message because they're not listening. They're zoned out, they're tuned out to do something else. They distract themselves so that they do not have to hear the Word of God. But in the meantime, they're causing other people not to hear the Word of God. We need to be careful when it comes to hearing the Word of God, but we're also in the position where we need to not only hear it, but to do it. Because as we talked about in Sunday school, we can't glorify God if we're not being obedient. And if we're not listening to the Word of God, how can we do the Word of God? Amen? Well, we need to put all this together. James is very practical when it comes to his application, but James doesn't pull any punches because he's going to hit you square in the mouth or the head or the neck or the legs or wherever you need to be hit, because he's telling us how we can live a life that honors and glorifies God. And isn't that the desire we all have? I hope to glorify God. Because if it's to glorify you, you're trying to do the wrong thing. My Bible says if we lift him up and if we love him with all of our heart, mind, soul, and strength, if we seek his kingdom first, then all the other things are going to fall in place. He's going to make sure of that. Love him first. That is our responsibility. But with love comes the responsibility of obedience. James chapter 1, we're going to start looking at verse 22 or 21, and then we'll go on down through 25, I think it is. This is what he says. It says, therefore lay aside all filthiness and overflow of wickedness, and receive with meekness the implanted word, which is able to save your souls. Now, we covered verse 21 last Sunday night, but I want us to realize that James is telling us these are things we have to put off. If you're going to put on righteousness, you got to take off the filthiness first. Amen? We're not supposed to cover it over, because that's what the Pharisees did, right? And Jesus called them what? He called them whitewashed tombstones. There's got to be a cleansing first. And James is saying, listen, lay aside this stuff. Take it off, put it off, leave it behind. And receive with meekness the implanted word. Here's the thing. So many, the Bible is the number one bestseller of all time. I've said this before, but you know what? It's one of the least read books. You can get online, Google it, check me out. People have hundreds of copies. I've probably got 30 plus hard copies, not counting all the electronic ones. The point I'm trying to make is this. Having a Bible doesn't do you any good if you're not in the Bible, if you're not reading the Bible, if you're not trying to put the Bible, the Word of God, into your life. It doesn't do us any good, so we need to realize that
that James said, listen, lay aside the wickedness, the filthiness. Let the word of God come into your heart to be implanted in. That means to have a teachable and moldable spirit. We are to be clay in whose hands? We sing the song. He is the potter and I am. The clay mold me, make me, shape me. We say those words, but are they true? Because if the truth was known, sometimes we don't want the potter to have nothing to do with us other than to save us and take us to heaven. The rest of the time, we want to tell you, get your hands off my life, right? Are we really submissive? Do we really have that teachable spirit? We should desire that. But that should be our desire as his children, to change us into the image of him himself. A lot of people think that, you know, well, I got saved and so now I'm good. Y'all remember the old time clocks? Do they still have those? Old punch, take your ticket, punch in. Some people think they got the ticket punched to heaven. And I'm not saying you do or you don't, only you and God know the truth. But what I am saying is that my Bible says you'll know their fruit. You'll know the fruit. You'll know who they are by their fruit. You'll know them. So the question is there fruit being produced in our lives? James wants us to be able to produce fruit for God. Now, he goes on to say, but be dodoers of the word and not hearers only. Man, we could stop right here and preach all day, amen. Doers of the word. Can I make a suggestion? Because here's one statement that is often made to me. Well, I don't understand what I read, Brother Tim. Well, let me share two things with you. Number one, you might be telling me the truth, and number two, you might not even be trying to understand it, right? But there's also another side to it that says this. Okay, let's say you don't understand everything about it. Welcome to the club. This preacher don't know everything. And I'm not going to try to tell you, I know a lot, but I don't know everything. But here's what I do know. If I know that the Bible says do this and don't do that, guess what? What am I supposed to do? I'm supposed to do this and not that. Yeah, so it's not about knowing everything, it's about doing what I do know. What I do understand, I'm supposed to take that and apply it to my life so that I can honor and glorify God. D.L. Moody said this, I've shared this before, God's word will keep you from sin, or sin will keep you from God's word. It's plain and simple. The reality is most of us don't want to spend time in God's word, because as we read God's word is reading us. And as the word of God is reading us, what is it doing? It is convicting us. And if you can't stand the heat, what do you normally do? Get out of the kitchen. So what do? Man, I'm reading my Bible and it's saying something I don't like. Because I want to live my life on my terms and do what I want to do. And so here's what I'm going to do now, because I can't stand the heat. But let's close it, because I might see what it says. And here's the thing, we think that because we don't read it, we're not responsible for it. If you're driving 85 in a 35 mile an hour zone and a policeman comes up behind you, and he pulls you over and he says, sir or ma'am, how fast were you going? You say, well, I was, you know, when I looked, I was running about 75, 80. Do you know what the speed limit is here? No, sir, I didn't see the sign. He says, well, you were doing 80. Okay. And we said, but sir, I didn't know. What's he gonna say? least I'm here. And he's going to tell you ignorance is no excuse. Ignorance is no excuse. You can say, well, God, I didn't know. And God's going to say, didn't I provide you 10 Bibles in your lifetime? You had 10 opportunities to know, but what have you done with those opportunities? Have you taken them and put them into practice in your life? Be doers. Be doers. Can we honor, and I point this question at me as well. Can we honestly say that we're doers of God's word? In every area of our life, every command, are we doers? Are we doers? Or are we just hearers? Because we're good at hearing, I think. When we take time to listen, we're good at hearing, but are we good at doing? He said, listen, be doers of the word and not hearers only. You see, here's the thing. You can fool this pastor. You can fool your husband. You can fool your wife. You can fool your neighbors. You can fool your Sunday school class. You can fool the church. But I guarantee you one thing. You cannot fool God. You cannot glorify God if you're not doers. If you're just hearers, you know, our Sunday school class, the whole Bible tithes good. Isn't it amazing how it does that? Here's the thing. What would y'all think about Moses if God said, Moses, I want you to build a tabernacle? And God gives him every direction he needs, every step, even from the incense to the type of incense, the smells and what to make it, and the proportions to make it. And if they did anything wrong, God was going to strike them dead. Man, look at Nadab and Abihu. God said, I want it done just like this, Moses. And Moses said, okay, God, I really don't like this plan. I don't like the blueprints. I'm going to change them. I'm just not going to do this because that's too time consuming. What do you think God would have done on Moses? Would Moses be able to honor and glorify God if Moses took the attitude that we take in a lot of areas in our lives? Well, God, if I got time, I'll do it. Not right now. It's too hard, too difficult. I don't know how to do all this. Well, that's why I got other people in the church, right? To know what to do, how to do it. The Word of God makes a demand on our lives. That's the problem we don't like, because a lot of times we want to do things. I can't get these pages apart. I got the shakes today. Y'all ever get the shakes? Y'all must have fed me too much sugar this morning. The Word of God makes demands on our lives. That's what we don't like. We like the good. I'll never leave you nor forsake you. We love that part. We like that, you know, whoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. We like that part. But then when the Word of God says, listen, that's what I want you to do, and we say, I'm not going there. The Word of God makes demands on our lives. Listen here. I'm going to make a statement, and y'all finish it out. Actions speak what?
Words.
See, y'all know it. We call ourselves Christian. What does the word Christian mean? It means little Christs. In other words, it was a derogatory statement back then, but we take it and puff it up today and think it's a good thing, and it can be. It can be a great thing. But do our actions truly model Jesus Christ? Jesus obeyed God in everything, not in some things, but in everything. He did the will of the Father. And can we say the same thing in our lives? John chapter 3, verse 21 says, "But he who does the truth comes to the light, that his deeds may be clearly seen, that they have been done in God." You see, for us, we need to come to the light, and there's nothing greater than the Word of God to light up your world, right? That's not up there, but, you know, Psalm 119:105, "Your word I've hidden in my heart that I might not sin against you." But it also talks about your word as a path, a light unto my path. You know, it lights up our world for us, and so we need to realize that it is the Word of God. But here's the thing. In John chapter 3, Jesus is talking about those who come to the light to have their deeds exposed. But then there's also those who are condemned because they don't come to the light. They don't let the light of God's Word into their lives to guide them and direct them. Or who are we? What are we doing? Hebrews 4, 12 and through 13. "For the word of God is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of the soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. And there is no creature hidden from his sight, but all things are naked and open to the eyes of him to whom we must give an account." You see, we will all one day stand before God and give an account. Every single one of us. In John chapter 1, 1 John chapter 1, verse 6 says, that if we say we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. You see, you can say that you're a believer. You can say that you're a hearer. But can we honestly say that we're a doer? Can we honestly say that I'm doing everything God wants me to do? James 4, 17 says, "He who knows to do good and does not do it, to him it is what?" If God's word is telling you to do something and you don't do it, guess what? If the Holy Spirit's telling you to do something and you don't do it, it's a sin. Plain and simple. But we think because we're not going to open it, we're not going to read it, we're not going to study it, because it might just change my life, and I'm good the way I am. I like doing nothing. I like sitting around doing nothing. I like doing my things my way without God messing things up. Now, who's in control? You or God? Are we hearers or are we doers? The Word of God makes demands on our life, but we must let the Word of God develop us in our lives. We must let the Word of God develop us in our lives. How do we do that? We do that by not being hearers only. We do that because here's the thing. Faith is an action word, right? But a lot of times we say, well, I got faith in God, really? When he tells you to do something, what do you do? Faith is believing. Faith is one step at a time. So God, I don't know where I'm going. The Israelites didn't know where they were going, right? When the glory of the Lord lifted up from the tabernacle, it was time to go. Amen? But the Holy Spirit's living in your life and saying, it's time to go, and we're still sitting down. He's saying, wait a minute, stop, and you keep on going. And I do the same thing. I'm not disappointing. I'm pointing at myself to you. But the Holy Spirit's job is to lead us and to guide us. When I was in college, and I know several others went to college too, we had, at the Baptist College of Florida, we had people who would do what they called an audit. You know what an audit is of a college course? Here's the thing, we're in there busting our behind, doing all the work. I've taken all the tests, the weekly tests, the quarterly tests, the midterms, the finals, and everything else. These people came in, they just sat around, let me illustrate to me. I'm sorry if y'all can't see me over there. They come in, they sit, they listen, they hear, but they don't have to do anything. Now, they're not getting credit, but they're just auditing the class. And we're busting our backsides. Now, can we apply that to the church? To us? How many of us come in here on Sunday morning and just audit the Word of God? Like it, we don't like it. But you know what? It's not going to do anything. It's not going to affect me because I'm not going to have to take a test. I'm not going to have to do any of the work. I'm just here to audit it. I'm just here to gain some facts. And then as I gain the facts, I'll decide what I'm going to do with them. James says, be doers of the Word. Not hearers only. I think it's a dangerous place for us to be in a position where we're hearing the Word of God, but we're not doing it. Because that means that if we're in that position, we are being rebellious to God. How are we allowing God's Word to impact our daily lives? James says, listen, be doers of the Word, not hearers only. And then he goes on to say, deceiving ourselves or yourselves. Deceiving yourselves. Think about this for just a moment. To deceive means to come to a conclusion by false reasoning. To come to a conclusion through false reasoning. In other words, James is saying, listen, don't deceive yourself. You know, sometimes we let Satan deceive us, sometimes we let other people deceive us. But in this case, James is saying, yourself, it's you that is you're coming to a wrong conclusion here on your theology, on your lack of doing. Of your lack of study, of your lack of obeying the Word of God. Because as I said earlier, you can deceive me, you can deceive others, but you can't deceive God. He knows. He knows, like the passage in Hebrews, He knows the thoughts and intents of your heart. There's not a thought that runs through your brain that God doesn't already know about. Isn't that scary? Because some of us can't even think about what we're thinking of, right? But God knows it all. And He knows why you do what you do. How are we glorifying God in that area of our life if we won't even hear what He has to say? James chapter 1, verses 20-24. Listen to what he says here. He says, for if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man observing his natural face. How many of y'all looked in the mirror this morning? Come on now, we're in church already. Yeah, everybody. Have you ever looked at yourself in the mirror and you turn and say, man, I thought I saw something. Where'd that wrinkle come from? Where'd that pimple come from? Where'd that mole come from? All those things. But James said this, and it's like a man who's looking in the mirror. He sees, but then he walks away. And he forgets who he is. He forgets who he was. He forgets what he was looking into it because he's talking about the Word of God. As I mentioned earlier, when you read the Word of God, it's reading you, right? It's reading you. It's like that mirror. It is showing you who you are. And what the Word of God should do more than anything is to show us how sinful we are and how good and glorious and forgiving and merciful and gracious God is. And we should realize that, hey, without him, I would be nothing. Because see, what happens a lot of times is we disregard God's word in our lives. We disregard his word in our lives because we don't like it. It expects too much of us. It demands stuff of us. And we're not ready to go there. We're not ready to do that. We're just fine living like we're living, doing what we're doing. And we don't want God messing in our business. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man observing his natural face in a mirror. For he observes himself and goes away and immediately forgets what kind of man he was. You see, it's the Word of God that shows us who we are. It shows us what the Lord has done for us. When you got up this morning, did you come to church, to do church, or did you come to worship God? Hopefully both, right? But when we looked in the mirror this morning, did we say, Lord, forgive me? Because I'm not who you want me to be. But Lord, I'm going to ask you today to speak to my heart. Show me, Lord, my life through your mirror. Show me my life through your glasses. Show me all the faults. Show me all the failures. But then, Lord, show me your love. Show me your grace. Show me your goodness. Show me your faithfulness. To do God's word, we have to learn to discipline ourselves. I'm not talking about like the Catholic Church where they get some little whips and put on a thing and hit yourself on the back. That's not what I'm talking about. Paul said, listen, I discipline myself. In one translation, he beats himself. It's not mean to beat like that. It means that to be successful, you have to discipline yourself. You have to get in a habit. They say that if you do anything for 21 days in a row, it becomes a what? A habit. That's discipline. But sometimes we don't like discipline, do we? We want to do our own thing. Go our own way. You see, the problem is for a lot of us, you can read a cookbook, but does a cookbook demand anything from you? Do you have to make a cake or a 5-course meal when you read a cookbook? But you'd be saying, yeah, that looks good. We got to try that. Well, same way with God's word. It looks good. It is good. Try. The word of God calls us to discipline ourselves, to be obedient in Christ. Because there's a difference between casually looking at ourselves in the mirror compared to actually looking into our lives. Because it says here, for if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, is like a man observing. This is casualness. This is just glancing you. For he observes himself, goes away, and immediately forgets what kind of man he was. Let's look at verse 25. But he who looks, this means to look intently. To be like a telescope or a microscope. You're focusing in here. But he who looks into the perfect law of liberty. What is the law of liberty? Come on now. The law of liberty. Here's most believers' opinion of the law of liberty. Now that I'm saved, I can do anything I want to do. Oh, you're wrong. The law of liberty says, I've been set free by the blood, the grace, the mercy of God. He has set me free not to go back to my old way of life, but now to live for Him. Amen. That's the law of liberty, because Jesus says, I didn't come to destroy the law. Talk about that this morning, too. I didn't come to destroy the law. I came to fulfill it. And what we couldn't do, Jesus did on the cross. And what we couldn't do perfectly, Jesus lived it perfectly for us. When Jesus died on the cross, He said, it is finished. I've paid the payment. Now you are set free. Not to go back to doing what you used to do, but to do for me, to love me, to serve me. But it takes discipline. Romans 12:1-2. Paul says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present yourselves a what? Living sacrifice. Holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And I know I've talked about this before. That's the bottom line. That's the getting on part, the reasonable service. That's the bare minimum. Do you think God deserves the bare minimum? Do not be conformed to this world, but be what? Transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. How can we know the perfect will of God if we're not in His Word? If we're not allowing it to affect us, if we're not allowing it to have its way in our lives. Here's the thing. If we don't even have a desire, we need to have a heart check. If we don't have a desire to know God, to know Him more, maybe we need to have a come to Jesus moment. Maybe we need to call on His name and ask for His forgiveness. Maybe we need to look at our lives and see, is what we say we are true? Or have we been making it up? Have we been deceiving ourselves while we've been deceiving everyone else? You see, Psalm 119:2 says, blessed are those who keep His testimony, who seek Him with half a heart, with a part of your heart, with a speck of your heart, with the whole. This isn't up there, this ran through my brain, so I'm gonna run it down. Greatest commandment. Love the Lord your God. How much of your heart? Say it all, right? With all your heart, with all your mind, with all your strength. With everything we are, that's the greatest commandment. To love God above everyone and everything else in this world. Love Him. John 13:17, we'll close with this. If you know these things, blessed are you if you hear them. How do we translate that verse to our lives? Blessed are you if you do it. That's what it says. Not blessed are you if you hear them. I don't know about you, but I want to be blessed. Amen. I don't deserve it. But my God says, listen, you do what I tell you to do and I'll bless you. You live how I want you to live and I'll bless you. You serve me the way I want you to serve me and I'll bless you. I don't do it for the blessing. I do it because I love him. But the blessings speak for themselves. How are we doing today in our lives? Are we just hearers of the word? Or are we doers? You see, here's the reality of it. I have probably done a lousy job this morning sharing God's word. But I believe what I share is the truth. I believe it is God's word. And no matter how good or how bad I preached it, and I hope I did a decent job, but no matter how I preached it, you've heard it. So guess what that means? You're now responsible for how you respond to it. Amen. That's not on me, that's on you. Because just as I'm responsible to God for what I preach from God's word, you are responsible to God for what you do with it. How you apply it or you reject it, that's on you. If you've heard the truth, what are you going to do with it? How are you going to respond to it? Listen, if you're not saved, if you've never trusted Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you say, Brother Tim, I need to get that right in my life. I've heard the word. Now I need to respond to it. Today I want to do it. Just come for and say, Brother Tim, I want to know how to have a relationship with Christ. I want to get it right in my life. But can I say, James wrote a letter to believers, to the church. And maybe there's some areas in our life that we haven't been wanting to listen to God. We've heard. We've been convicted. But we haven't obeyed. Why put it off any longer? Do as the Holy Spirit leads you. Will you stand with me? Heavenly Father, as we go into this time of invitation, Lord, we thank you for your word. Lord, it's hard to hear because sometimes we're hard of hearing. It's hard to put into our life, Lord, because we think that somehow, some way, we're going to miss out on something. Lord, that you're going to change us, and you will. You will change us. But Lord, as you change us, Lord, you change our desires. You change our will to match up with yours. And Lord, when we look back, we realize that we don't miss those things at all. Lord, today someone needs to step out in faith to trust you as their Lord and Savior, to obey you, to hear you and put it into practice. Others of us, Lord, we just need to come and say, Lord, forgive me for not doing what you've asked me to do. Whatever that looks like, and everybody is different. Lord, we've all been told by you to do something. Because you created us all differently. Lord, whatever it is today, Lord, help us to leave here walking in obedience with you. Heavenly Father, you do your will, your way. And may we follow you. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.